Save big during Labor Day at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, buy more to get up to an additional 20% off. Shop even more savings with 3 Stay Green 1 cubic foot vegetable and flower garden soil bags for $10. This Labor Day, take care of your home for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ray. Welcome to the Evangelical Dark Web. Today, we're going to be discussing Robert Morris getting sued for defamation by the victim Cindy Clemenshire. Now, this is an interesting situation. It's an interesting development of the case because about a year ago is when this story broke. And now there's a lawsuit involving the victim against the person who did it and who confessed to doing it. So there's no real due process other than the fact that Robert Morris has been charged on a criminal basis in the state of Oklahoma, which does not have a statute of limitations for non-residents due to a cowboy law. But in the civil side of things, it's obviously a lot different, and Cindy Clemenshire is suing Robert Morris et al. For defamation and lying about her. Now, this is an interesting lawsuit, and that's what we're going to get into in today's video. But first, I want to let you know Evangelical Dark Web is a Christian news gathering and commentary ministry. And you should check out our free newsletter, where you've gotten stories, more updates on the Michael Tate situation. We talked about exposing the J29 coalition. So a lot of stories going on at Evangelical Dark Web. And you want to subscribe to the newsletter, to the podcast if you are new as well, to, you know, and the channel as well. We also have a Patreon-like system where you can support us and get access to bonus content as well. So Robert Morris, Gateway Church, sued for defamation. This is a very interesting development just because there's a lot of legal nuance here. So a year ago, 13 months ago, Gateway Church was one of the largest megachurches in the United States, and this scandal obviously rocked them, and, you know, people don't want to go to a church where the front man was a diddler. Understandable. And this scandal has wrecked the church. They've only just announced a replacement for Robert Morris, who's, you know, a woke Craig Groeschel wannabe, is kind of how I described him when I wrote about that. Another reason why you want to subscribe to the newsletter, because I didn't do a video on that. So anyway, the lawsuit filing details the history of the case, citing incidents that occurred with Morris against Clemenshire, and the rise of Morris in televangelism. The filing claims that the church was informed of the extent of Morris's actions, citing that they were emailed by truthrevealed@hush.com on December 22nd and 27th, 2011. The lawsuit cites further information pertaining to the elder's knowledge of precise details as grounds for defamation, including knowledge that she was 12 at the time. So here's the thing. Cindy Clemenshire cannot go after Robert Morris for what he did to her. There's a statute of limitations on that, and it's also not in the state of Texas. That's the state of Oklahoma's doing, and they already charged him, and I don't think it was any thanks to her. I don't think she was very, you know, they kind of threw her under the bus for not reporting sooner when they announced the charges on Robert Morris. But here she is trying to get her money from him. It wouldn't be the first time she's attempted to do that, but you know, the negotiations fell through in 2006, give or take what year it was. And some pretty interesting details came out of there, which are about to be referenced in a moment. So while the lawsuit rehashes much of the scandal surrounding Robert Morris, Texas statute of defamation has a statute of limitations of 1 year. So the story broke about a year ago, and this lawsuit's filed a year later. So within the statute of limitations and very late, we're getting it in last minute on the defamation statute of limitations. Exceptions to this would include if the defendant was underage at the time of the defamation, which is not applicable here because she was above the age of minority or a majority at the time of the defamation, because the defamation being cited happened a year ago. This is not a case about the defamation or, you know, any statements prior to 1 year ago. So that's a very key detail here. Thus, the lawsuits depended on statements issued by either Morris or Gateway Church in response to the scandal becoming known and the subsequent fallout. While the falling cities, Morris, the filing sites, man, I'm a little illiterate today. Morris's historic misrepresentation of his abuse, it is not material to the legal requirements for defamation, meaning anything that he said about the about the abuse in the past is not necessarily relevant because of the 1 year countdown. Those are historic claims that he's made. They're not new claims that have been made in the last year. So, important thing. Within the past year, one recent evidence cited as an affidavit signed by Robert Morris, in which he admits to using legal representation to respond to the anonymous emails, though there was nothing innately defamatory against Clemenshaw contained in the affidavit. The mention of J. Shelby Shape is important since he was the one who claimed that a 12-year-old tried to seduce Robert Morris. Now, I don't believe that. I call cap on that. I don't believe that the 12-year-old's doing that. Another defamatory claim is that Gateway Church's public response is their public response to the scandal. So this is from the lawsuit filing, a quote from here. On or about June 18, 2024, elders for defendant Gateway Church, with the assistance of defendant Lawrence Swicegood, issued more false statements saying that Pastor Robert did a phenomenal job being open and transparent about his transgression and his past, his moral failures. What we did not know was that she was 12 years old. Since the resolution of the 35-year-old matter, there have been no other moral failures. The lawsuit goes on to say the following. On or about July 27 or July 28, 2024, elders for defendant Gateway Church admitted to issuing defamatory statements against plaintiff in the following speech to Gateway Church's congregation. We are sorry for our initial communication, which was clearly incorrect. You were a child, not a young lady. Additionally, 2 weeks ago, Gateway released a statement saying that it was an inappropriate relationship. This statement is not correct either. To be clear, we believe this was sexual abuse of a child. I'm sorry that we got that communication wrong. So this is, again, Gateway Church admitting wrongdoing, but this actually hurts Cindy's case because one of the important elements of Texas law is that the plaintiff must ask the defendant for a correction, clarification, or retraction. Gateway Church will likely argue that they have made corrections as information became known. While they are attempting to spin this as an admission of defamation, it is a corrected statement that is contained in Clemenshaw's filing, which would support the defendant's counterclaim that they offered correction under Texas law. The lawsuit comes before the anniversary of the alleged defamatory statements. So this is Anthony's analysis. He wrote this article and, you know, got into the story first. Since the elders were not in the room, they could not have known whether Morris's depiction of the events was accurate. But the lawsuit is relying on the church parroting what Morris stated in his own words as grounds of defamation. Another thing to note is that Robert Morris supposedly, you know, published a memo. Like, obviously it could be faked, but he published some sort of memo saying, hey, I told these people everything, and now they're trying to throw me under the bus, is basically the position of Robert Morris. He basically published a memo saying when he informed them and what he informed them of, which does make that, you know, the statement that the church put out a lot more deceitful. If Robert Morris's memo, which looks like it just came from a random Word document, is accurate. An example of this would... Furthermore, Morris made claims of his inappropriate sexual relationship for years prior to his resignation. Texas law does not reset the clock on defamation for a republication of a defamatory statement. So since Morris made these claims for years, this might impede the defamation law from being applicable. An example would be, this would be Morris's contention that the family forgave him, which is disputed by Clemenshaw in the filing. Morris has made this claim for years, including in his book, potentially placing it outside the statute of limitations. The law might allow for an exception if the claim was repackaged for a new audience or the contents were altered in a significant way. The basis of this case is that they knew at the time that they made such statements, and particularly that they knew it began when she was 12 years old, and that the abuse was more than kissing and petting, which is important, is an important he said, she said fact of the case. So, what did they know and when did they know it is the gist of this. And are they lying about when they knew what they knew? Gateway Church seeks to move on with Daniel Floyd, again, the wannabe Craig Rochelle that they hired, to close the book on Morris, not Book of Mormon, and begin a new chapter. But the Morris scandal continues to plague them. A settlement between Gateway Church and Cindy Clemenshire is the most likely outcome of the lawsuit, as further reputational damage to Gateway Church supersedes the merits of whether their public statements are defamatory under Texas law. So that's a prediction in the article that this, in the analysis section of the article, that this lawsuit will result in a settlement in order to avoid and just close out this public embarrassment for Gateway Church. So it's a very interesting prediction. Let me know if you think that's going to be correct. Another thing in the news is that Chris Kadub has responded, and he said that he's repentant. He does not say that, and he also disputes the fact that he abandoned his child, as well as is seeking a life with another woman. So, very interesting stuff going on, I guess, in the world of evangelical scandals at the moment. So, and of course, the Michael Tate allegations did explode over the weekend. So, a lot of stuff going on, a lot of gross stuff going on, but we do cover the gross stuff here occasionally. So that's all I got to say about that for now. My name is Ray, it's the Evangelical Dark Web. If you like this kind of content, do subscribe to the channel, the podcast if you're new. Have a blessed day. Stay based. Christ is King. And we will catch you on the next one.